Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my superpowered clone friend, Frank.
Oh,
how are you?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I'm very good. You are alive.
I am alive. I am a product of late 20th century genetic engineering, but I am alive.
You know what? I just got you motioned just now, and it now clicked in my brain what you wanted me to do.
I did.
And I'm going to do it again.
All right, let's do it. Go, go.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my friend, Frank.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I mean, you killed my best friend, but I'm good.
Well.
No. Are you my best friend?
I don't know.
Ooh, it's confusing.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a lair that that's not in the movie.
We were not going to go there.
Yeah, no.
I'm doing quite well. I am enjoying a wonderful beer that you have offered me.
I have offered it to myself as well.
You have.
What did I offer you and myself?
This is an Omission Lager. Now, this is it's a very good lager, but it's especially interesting because it is brewed with malted barley specially crafted to remove gluten.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, this was recommended to us by our friend Damon, sometimes co-host of the show Damon. And you would not know from tasting it that it is gluten-free.
Nope.
You would have no idea. Now, I don't know if this is completely gluten-free. I don't know if you have a gluten allergy or sensitivity. If you'd be able to drink this, I'm not sure. You'd have to look that up. But it is supposedly very little or no gluten. And it is delicious. It is delicious.
The gluten content of this product cannot be verified, and this product may contain gluten.
So it's got less gluten than most beers, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
Probably dramatically less.
Mm.
But it is delicious. You would have absolutely no idea. So cheers to Omission Brewing.
Yeah, it's really
Portland,
good.
Oregon.
You wouldn't know.
No idea.
It's a very light lager.
It is.
It's a very light lager.
But it's still a good 4.6% alcohol.
Yep.
You know, it's on par with other lagers.
Yep.
It's just barley instead of wheat. So it's very good.
Yeah.
Very good. So
yeah, I'm glad I picked it up, Frank.
I'm glad you did. So I want to regale you with a tale.
Is it as old as time?
No.
Oh, okay. Then.
In fact, it hasn't even happened yet. It happens in the 23rd century.
Oh my goodness.
So
you're a future teller.
I am.
Yeah.
I, for many years, I have long been a fan of Star Trek.
Yes.
Now, I'm not a Trekker, as they prefer to be called.
Sure.
I'm not an all-out, I don't know, and that's only to say I don't know a lot. You know, I don't want to pretend to be on a bandwagon that I'm not, and then,
sure,
you know, be called out as a fake. I really, really like Star Trek. I grew up watching a lot of the original series, and then watched all the movies, and from a pretty young age, and I've seen them all a couple times, some more than others. And one that has always stood out, and of course the J.J. Abrams reboot, I've been a huge, huge fan of.
Sure, of course.
I've seen that movie maybe more than I've ever seen any movie in my life.
Of course.
Except for maybe Star Wars. But Wrath of Khan
yes.
has always been a favorite of mine.
And, you know, and, I've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah. Now you've seen it a couple times.
I've seen it a couple times, yeah.
All right, I've seen it several times. Always, it's been a big favorite. Universally, I think, agreed that it's one of the best. You know, there's that old that old adage that the even numbered Star Trek movies are the best.
This is pretty close,
and it's pretty it's the second one, so it's even numbered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, you pointed out to me a few months ago that I think on this podcast that in the reboot it's the odd numbered ones that are the good ones.
Yep, because so it's a new universe, so it's the odd ones,
and it works out so. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously not on purpose, but it's funny how that works out.
Yeah.
So I got a chance to see it on the big screen, Wrath of Khan on the big screen. And followed by a Q&A with the one and only Mr. Sulu, George Takei.
Whoa. Let's back the horse up for a second, Frank.
Hmm.
You said that this was going to take place in the future, and you're telling me a story that happened in the past.
Well, I mean, Wrath of Khan takes place in the future. It's complicated. Don't worry. Timey-wimey, wibbly. Never mind.
Okay.
So
anyway, so yeah, so you saw.
Yeah, so I got to
so
see.
So you saw George Takei.
I saw George Takei on.
To which I say, oh my.
Yeah, so I got to watch the movie, and then he came out and did probably about an hour long Q&A.
Wow, that's
long.
A long Q&A.
Yeah, it was. They as you're walking in the theater, it was held at the Wang Theater in Boston, which is a beautiful,
beautiful theater.
You know, early 20th century, gorgeous, very ornate theater.
Yeah.
And on the way in the lobby, they had a table with little cards, and you could write down a question.
Oh.
And submit them.
Oh, that's a genius way of doing it.
Yeah. So then the moderator during the movie was sorting through the cards, and he picked them, and then he asked a few of the questions. He picked about 50 questions.
Yep. Got through five.
Because George Takei is very long-winded.
And yes.
So George Takei, George's husband, Brad, was in the front row.
Okay.
And the host, whose name I can't remember, he wasn't anyone particularly famous, and I feel bad that I don't remember his name, but he, the moderator said that he was talking to Brad, and he said, how many questions did you pick? And he said, oh, I picked about 50. And he was like, yeah, be lucky if you get through about 10 of them. Don't let George go off too much. And then it happened anyway. He goes off on tangents. But it was an absolute blast, absolute delight. So... the movie is obviously, we can talk about that in a little bit, but
tell me about the Q&A.
He threw shade at Shatner, first of all.
Wow.
So it was funny, in a funny way.
He threw a lamp at Shatner.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Funny, right?
Yeah.
The moderator asked, can you describe each main cast member in one word? And of course he did not restrict himself to one word. he told a story about each customer. He like
sure.
would
a word,
pick a word,
a paragraph, whatever.
Like, he was like, okay, Nichelle Nichols. Oh, generous. And then he would tell the story about why she's generous. Like, oh, every time I'm an activist and I do lots of charity events, and she always comes and offers her talents and sings on stage. In fact, sometimes we have to pull her off the stage. That's why she's so generous. Walter Koenig, he's serious, but he's still a good guy. We had him be the best man at our wedding. Like, he had all these stories.
Wow, that's cool.
And yeah. Nichelle Nichols was supposed to be their matron of honor, but she's like, I'm not a matron, so I will be the lady of honor. And they were like, sweetheart, you can be whatever you like. Oh my.
Eat this Pizza Hut.
Yeah. He told then a story about DeForest Kelly, you know, Bones.
Yep.
And he kept saying, D is a Southern gentleman. He is so polite. And he kept saying is. And I was like, didn't DeForest Kelly die? Am I wrong? Am I confused? Mm-hmm. No, he's dead. He just chose to speak about him in the
that means he's his favorite.
Tense.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loved him. And of course, Leonard Nimoy. Leonard Nimoy was born and raised in Boston, in downtown Boston, and the West End, which doesn't really exist anymore. But
nope.
But used to be the West End. Kind of in the slums in the West End.
Yep.
And so he said that he actually was in Boston. He was coming down, I think, from Maine and traveling through Boston on the day that he found out that Leonard Nimoy passed away.
Wow.
He was in Logan Airport when he found out that that he had passed. So in his hometown, in Leonard Nimoy's own hometown, when he learned of his friend's passing.
Oh my.
And he said that he was just such a kind soul and such a good guy. And I think the word he chose was conscience or prince. I think it was conscience. And the story he told was that when they were making, do you remember there was a Star Trek, the animated series
sure.
in like the 70s?
Oh, yes.
It was?
Whether, however much of a fan of Star Trek you are, you can't delete that from your brain.
Yeah. So they, when they were starting to make the show, they wanted to have, they were going to have Shatner and Nimoy and James Doohan, Mr. Scotty. And James Doohan was going to do Scotty's voice and all the other male voices.
So weird.
And Majel Barrett, who was like Nurse Chapel and the voice of the computer and also happened to be Gene Roddenberry's wife, she was going to do all the female voices.
Sure.
So George and Nichelle were cut out.
Crazy.
And Walter Koenig cut out. And so Nimoy said, well, Star Trek's about diversity. It's about all these different cultures coming together in the future, and there being one Earth government, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, ideal utopian type of thing. And diversity, not having Nichelle or George, they're the most diverse people on the show. Not having them is not having Star Trek. So mm-hmm. I refuse to do it if they're not in it. And so wow. then they had to find the money to get George and Nichelle involved, and so they were involved.
Wow.
But it was because he said, I will walk if you don't.
500. Oh, okay. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would walk 500 more.
Yeah.
If they're not in the show. So he said conscience was his word for wow. him. So, and then when he got to Shatner, he literally was speechless. He was like, it was the one time in the entire time that he just didn't have the words, and people were shouting things out, not kind things. And he finally settled on ego.
Wow.
And he told the story.
That says so much more than any swear word he could have come out with.
And he told the story about how they invited, George and Brad invited Shatner to their wedding, and he never RSVP'd. And they were like, well, that's not surprising. He never RSVP'd to anything. And then he went on YouTube and started claiming that he was never invited and all this stuff, and it just wasn't true. And then a couple months after that YouTube video, he had a new show on TV. So George's theory is, He
wanted the spotlight.
He used it for used it to promote his TV show and stuff. So he threw some shade. It was in a funny kind of, you know, lighthearted way. I mean, that story was obviously stressful for him, but he told some other little anecdotes and things and hinted at things, and he was just sort of like, you know, we're good, we're on good terms, but he's definitely an egomaniac.
Wow. I mean that lines up with everything that you hear about Shatner.
Absolutely, the crowd loved it. I mean, it lines up exactly with what you know about,
because at this point, you want him to be an egomaniac. Like, you don't want it to be, like, almost like you want Harrison Ford to be a grumbly old man.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, how weird would it be if you're like, actually, he's really exuberant and energetic when you see him in person? You're like,
oh.
Grumbly old
man. Right. It's this part of the charm. Now.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's this character that he plays, that Shatner plays, of being the old egomaniac, you know, like, vain.
Yeah.
One of the words that someone shouted out was toupee. because he has
Bazinga.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a lovely, lovely evening, and lots of fun stories. But what do you feel about the movie Wrath of Khan, Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan?
It doesn't. Well, I can recognize that it's the best out of the films, because my first exposure to Star Trek, I can't remember if I've talked about this at all. My first exposure to Star Trek was not the television show. It was Star Trek the Motion Picture.
So bad.
Star Trek the Motionless Picture.
It's so bad that was your first exposure.
I know. Isn't it awful? It sticks in my brain.
Yeah.
And so I like having sat through that movie of my own accord going, why do people like this? I mean, I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I was maybe 9 or 10, you know, but why?
Yeah.
So at having not seen, I don't think I saw Wrath of Khan until high school,
okay,
maybe college, to be perfectly honest. It took some time to get there.
Sure.
Because I grew up watching Next Generation at my friend's house. But even that was in high school. And that took some warming up to because of the motionless picture. That's not true. There is motion, but it's all in space with no sound.
It's just long panning shots of the Enterprise.
It was a beauty. Yes, it's a beautiful styrofoam looking.
Yes.
Yeah, ship. Like, please move on from it. Anyway, it's not styrofoam.
V'ger.
Yeah. Anyway, so when I watched Wrath of Khan, I had already seen a few episodes mm-hmm. of the show. You hear for years that this is an important film, but I think it holds up to its, I don't know, fame and glory, I guess, which a lot of films don't. You hear, like, this is the greatest movie. Pulp Fiction is the greatest movie of all time. Mm. When you finally sit down and watch Pulp Fiction, you're like, all right, I get it.
It was good, but
greatest
of all time?
Yeah, right, exactly. And so greatest of all time is a tough marker. But when you hear, but Wrath of Khan sits in it's the greatest Star Trek film.
Yeah.
And so it sits in a little bit of its own category. And so I watched it and went, oh, yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Because you can watch it and sense the history.
Yes.
Without having ever watched a second of the television show.
That's true. It does. Yeah. And I think that is very much what they were going for.
Yeah.
They did a really good job of striking that balance between pleasing fans, like having it literally be a callback to an episode of the show.
Yep.
And then also also bringing it, making it in a way that you understand this is a story that we're picking up from the show, but you don't have to have seen it to understand. They do a good job of
Nice job of summing it up. I mean, and I think as a the reasons I love films is like it work, you know, like there's a connectivity to things. There's a thematic web that things really connect together. Like, you know, Jim is getting older. He's celebrating his birthday.
That's right.
He's given a tale of two cities about, you know, this great decision to live or to die. Mm-hmm. And that all ties so beautifully into this man who Spock, who dies, mm-hmm. you know, to this
spoiler
guy.
Spoiler alert.
It's Wrath of
Khan. Movie came out 35 years ago.
And if you're listening, if you're this far into it,
right.
you know what happens.
Yeah.
yeah. And so, you know, but, you know, like for Spock to have that moment and not Jim,
yes.
even, you know, because like in any other film, you're given a tale of two cities
yeah.
in which the main character, you know, in which the main character dies, you know, he gives his own life. Spoiler for a book that's hundreds of years old.
yes.
And so
it's.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a nice twist, but, you know, for, like, Jim, I'm celebrating my birthday, and, you know, like, but you have died, and I get to live,
mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's this, like, all of this togetherness,
yes.
like, that's the kind of thing that I really appreciate at the movie, plus Ricardo Montalban is tremendous.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are some, I mean.
For his name and for his character.
And his character. The themes, like, the theme of aging, of how do I deal with aging? How do I, you know, kind of live with that? The theme of the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few,
sure.
or the one.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously a big theme. The whole white whale, you know, the whole
yep.
Moby Dick thing mm-hmm. is right out there, like in your face.
Sure.
Yep. And he literally quotes it.
Yeah.
It's you know, those are big themes, and they are so well executed. They're very much in your face, but they're well executed.
Yeah.
And it all ties up at the end very nicely in not a way that feels forced.
Well, even the aging thing, it's not even just about the characters, but it's about the franchise.
But the franchise.
The franchise is aging. These people are aging, and
yes.
how does the franchise move on
yes.
from this kind of death? But it's so funny. In the death of this character, the franchise is also reinvigorated
yes,
to carry on
is,
for
yes.
3, 4, and 5, and then, you know, like there's so much there.
There's so many interesting things to know about this film.
Okay, tell me some of these interesting things to know.
So the first person, the first of the original Enterprise crew that encounters Khan,
yep.
is Chekhov.
Sure,
Chekhov was not in the season where Khan appeared,
right? Yep.
but they gloss over that, and they remember each other.
Sure.
For reasons.
Time travel is wibbly wobbly.
Exactly. There was a rumor in the general, you know, knowledge of where things of, you know, people knew in the world that Spock was supposed to die in this film.
Right.
And they being the producers, the writers, decided to fake people out based on this. So in the beginning, the movie opens with Kobayashi Maru, right? You have Savick, played by Kirstie Alley,
yep.
taking the Kobayashi Maru, and you see the whole cast
mm-hmm.
die. And you don't know it's a test, right? This is the introduction of the Kobayashi Maru.
Right.
It's the first time it's being yeah. brought into Star Trek lore. So you see Spock die. They did that as a fake out because the rumor was Spock's going to die in this movie. So they show you him fake dying at the beginning to put it out of your mind.
That is awesome.
Genius, right?
Genius.
Like, you have an excuse for a fake death. Use it. People will be like, oh, that must have been what the rumor was.
That is so cool. That is so cool.
Isn't that so good?
Talk about the Kobayashi Maru for a second.
Sure.
It's a cool name.
It is.
I don't know why it sits in my brain. Like, it's like, this is the thing that I like. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Another cool name. Santa Claus. Whatever.
Cool names.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, I was trying to think of, like, one of the names from, like, The Expendables or something like that, because those names are just, like, utterly ridiculous.
Good job.
Walter Pentecost or whatever their names are.
Is that a real name?
It's something like that. No, that's John Boyega's character from the new Pacific Rim movie that's coming out.
Oh.
It's like his last name is Pentecost, but I cannot remember what his first name is, and it's just absurd. But it's like, you're like, this is your action hero name. It's so ridiculous. But the Kobayashi Maru is something like the way the syllables line up. I don't know. I just really like it. I also really like how JJ's took the Kobayashi Maru
and
twisted it to their own means. It was very cool.
I liked it. It was a nice, that was a nice, you know, a nice like reference for fans. When I was watching that movie for the first time, I was like, oh, it's just like in Wrath of Khan. It's Kobayashi Maru. I know that. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, the creatures, I forget what they're called in Wrath of Khan, that they put in their ears to make them tell the truth.
Yes.
It's just like the Stentorian slugs from the first. That was also a reference. It wasn't the same creature, but it was a reference.
So tell me more about the facts that I should know.
So Leonard Nimoy was ready to be done. Harrison Ford was ready to be done. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, he was sort of like, yeah, let's go ahead and write. Let's kill Spock.
Clearly he was not done.
Well,
yeah.
So towards the end of shooting the movie, he's sort of like, you know, this was kind of fun. I wouldn't mind maybe going back. I don't know. I'm not really sure. So they
everyone, we must search for Spock.
So at the end of the movie, when Spock dies, sacrifices himself, Dr. McCoy is trying to stop him, and Spock not only does the Vulcan neck pinch on him, but once he collapses, he puts his fingers like on Bones' head and says, "Remember." They hadn't figured out what they were going to do with that, but they just put it there as a like, all right, well, now we'll figure, well, all right, if Leonard wants to come back, this is a way we can back into it and make
we
it.
We can extrapolate.
Exactly. We'll figure out some solution based on this. So that's how we got eventually the search for Spock and all the rest of the films.
A silliness
where he was like, maybe I'll come back. We'll see.
For Spock. A silliness in space.
Basically.
Yeah.
So that, I always thought that was a fun story, too. There's a lot of those kind of things. Those are the ones that I can remember right now.
Did George Takei tell any stories that you didn't already know previously?
There was a scene. So people were asking, so in Star Trek 6, I think, there is Sulu becomes Captain Sulu, and he has his own ship.
Yeah, we're very proud of him.
Yes, and he was very proud of it.
Yeah,
he said he was actually lobbying for years, like, I want Sulu to have his own ship because I want like an Asian character to be like in leadership role and like, for diversity's sake. There was a scene cut from Wrath of Khan where Kirk leaves the bridge and says, "Mr. Sulu, you have the con," and Sulu gets to like be captain of the ship for a few minutes while Kirk is off. So that was cool. I didn't know that. Apparently, I've never seen that. I don't know if that's on some bonus disc somewhere or if it's just completely on the cutting room floor and never been seen. But I thought that was pretty cool. He didn't have a lot of stories about Wrath of Khan. He said it was probably one of his favorite films to make.
Oh, that's nice.
Of the ones that they made. Because
that's good that it's one of those films that, you know, like, it's a work of genius, but everyone hated being there.
He said that...
Just Shatner.
Because it was like the second one, they were kind of back in the groove of things. And everyone was really enjoying each other's company again.
Sure.
And they kind of knew that it was going to be something special. Like, they knew it was good.
Okay.
You know? After the first one, they kind of like, this feels like, this is good. This is like good writing. This is good stuff. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the most quotable quote of the entire film, which is
Khan.
But
I liked yours better than mine. Mine was very half-hearted. Khan.
more quarter-hearted.
It was quarter-hearted. Yeah, a sliver of heart.
A sliver of heart.
Yeah.
But I also really love at the beginning, and this is a more obscure one, but at the beginning of the movie when Chekhov is saying like is arguing with Khan before Khan is going to like torture them, and he's
but that's
not fair. On Seti Alpha 5 there was life, here on Seti Alpha, and Khan cuts him off and goes, "This is Seti Alpha 5." Seti Alpha 6 exploded 6 months after we got here, blah blah blah. But this is Seti Alpha 5.
I was really hoping you were going to do the whole thing because your eyes were kind of popping out. You were really getting into it, I was pretty enraptured.
I was feeling it, but I didn't remember the rest of the quote. Yeah. So. But this, that is like peak Ricardo Montalban right there. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. Yeah. That's always been a fun... It seems like it's a kind of fun thing that like if you and a bunch of friends enjoy Star Trek, you could just yell out when you're having a fight.
Yeah.
Like, no, I wanted to go here. No, I want to go there. This is Seti Alpha 5!
This is not necessarily related to Wrath of Khan,
okay.
But this has always been something that sticks with me.
Okay.
I very much dislike their red uniforms.
Oh, they're terrible.
They're awful.
I've always hated them. I always felt like they should have just done a little bit of a spin on the original uniforms, right. The different colors,
but they
the different
take
ranks.
They take away their like the they rank. Take their ranks and their yeah. position by getting rid of the colors,
right?
And however comfy that collar yeah. looks, like I'm just know. Yeah, I
it's weird.
Don't like it.
It's I don't like that. I don't like them at all. I don't. I agree with you. I don't like them at all. I think that they should have had the different colored shirts and kept that. I guess they felt that it was more modern. You know, it was the 70s going into the 80s.
Sure,
styles had changed and they were kind of
yes, you know, a long sleeve T-shirt went out of style. Yeah,
yeah, I guess. Yeah. I agree with you though. I don't like them. I think like Next Generation did a good job with like having the different colors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were a totally different look.
Sure.
But I like the idea of having different colors for your rank and for your position and, yeah. and all that stuff.
Do you feel like the effects of the film hold up for the time period? Not necessarily compared to 2017, but
they hold up yeah. pretty well. Actually, yeah. I was so seeing them on a big screen for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually impressed with how well they held up. It's ILM doing, yep. doing the, which is kind of funny when you think about Star Wars.
Industrial
Star Trek.
Light and Magic, for yeah. those of you who don't know, George Lucas's special effects company,
yeah, doing it for Star Trek. But they did a good job. I thought all the Genesis stuff, there's literally a shot of like a wireframe globe spinning. It looks yeah. just like the Death Star.
Yeah, well, that's that with the Death Star wireframes, that's the first 3D computer generated image.
That's right,
in a movie. In a movie,
right. So it looked very, very similar. But the leap between 77 and this was 1980 or 81. Shoot, I can't remember right now. I'll use my lookup.
Sure.
But I think it's 81.
Keep talking. I'll use my lookup.
Okay. The leap between that wireframe Death Star trench run stuff and you know,
82.
82, thank you. Like General Dodonna is talking about like, oh, you have to go here and hit the, you know, a direct hit. Well, only a direct hit will do blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
From there to 82, where they're showing this, it starts as wireframe and then it turns into an actual, like, you know, more realistic looking image. Not totally photorealistic, mm-hmm. you understand, but somewhat. And the explosion that happens that creates the terraforming on the Genesis planet and all this stuff. It's pretty great. It's a huge leap forward in 5 years. It's really, really good. And the actual, you know, the actual shots of the ships looks good. They look great because they're models, you know, because it's practical and they had mastered that. That's really like the practical effect stuff. ILM really, really did a good job. I mean, they were doing a decent job in the 60s with the original Star Trek stuff. But by this time, by 82, they really nailed it. And it looks great. I think that will hold up for a long time. You don't really, you know, and in the more recent remasters and everything, you don't see any of the matte lines mm-hmm. anymore or anything. So it just looks great. There's a good chunk of the movie where they're like in a nebula, and that I assume is computer generated, and it also looks great.
Yeah.
So they did a very, very good job with that, and it has held up over the decades.
You know, I've never really noticed before. I'm just looking at pictures of Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
That Ricardo Khan's.
Yeah.
I like his real name better yeah. than his real name. But you know how he's like that open shirt, like. That open shirt frill collar thing he has, that kind, it's kind of like a weird, like, I don't know, open version of Kirk's outfit.
Yeah, it kind of is.
He's got that flowy ribbed collar.
Sure,
this like
sure.
that rib look, and I don't know if that's just for aesthetic purposes because, you know, like the turtlenecks had it,
sure,
and the bigger sweater had it.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like he's got this, like, you know, ripped open shirt, blasphemy kind of look to him.
Where, it does. He does kind
where
of.
Where Kirk, his opposite, is kind of buttonholed.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever.
It's like a big wool looking collar.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I don't know if that was intentional or
I don't
not,
know.
But it's got there's like mirror inverse of.
That is kind
of.
I hadn't thought about that. You're very right.
Yeah.
You're very right. I find it interesting that Khan and his people are supposed to be products of late 20th century genetic engineering.
Yep.
They were
all of our super fast genetic engineering that we had going on
in 1996.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that they've lived all these years, these centuries, and they get abandoned, they get marooned on SETI Alpha 5, and in 15 years, somehow, they get clothes that look just like the clothes that Kirk has. Like, they're like in rags and everything, mm-hmm. but it's like, oh, they somehow went from 1960s clothes to 1980s clothes.
Weird. Look, what we didn't know is that we do know that clothing is cyclical, you know, you know. So like the seasons.
Yes.
So, you know, eventually stuff just comes back and it just happened to pair up exactly correct.
It did.
Yeah.
Well, the movie is fantastic. Mm. The chance to see George Takei live was fantastic. He is wonderful. He is months away from becoming an octogenarian. He was very proud of saying several times on the show. And he shows no signs of stopping. And he said that if he was ever invited to make a cameo in one of the films or in Star Trek Discovery, he would be happy to be Mr. Sulu again.
That's cool.
You know, the others have done that. Leonard Nimoy did that. Mm-hmm.
Many times.
DeForest Kelly did that. Yes. Yep. DeForest Kelly did it in an episode of Deep Space Nine, I think it was. Mm-hmm. It's been done over the years where they've like either time traveled or done something like that. I would be very, very happy to see Sulu show up, you know, older Sulu time traveling or whatever, them time traveling him.
Well, the next Star Trek movie is allegedly that father son team up, you know, the Kirk team up.
That's right.
Maybe there'll be some time travel. I mean, obviously there's some time traveling going on. Sure. So maybe we'll get some old Sulu action
too.
That would be very cool.
So anyway, it was great fun, and thank you for indulging me as I spun the.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. It was my pleasure to indulge you.
I would really love it if people would leave us iTunes reviews.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I have an iTunes review sitting right here.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. So it's from Heroic Villain 12, five stars, title Beer with Geeks, all caps, many explanation points.
Okay.
Probably my favorite podcast of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, that's high praise. Thank you very much. Heroic Villain. It's very nice. And that's only the first sentence. It could all go down there hill from here. I don't know. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, I see.
I have talked with these hella fellows a few times online, and they're so nice, and they just put on. Great show every week. It has quickly become my most anticipated podcast to date, and much like Frank, I listen to a ton of them. Guys, keep up the good work. I'm going to make it my personal goal to be the guest on your show someday.
Well, thank you so much. That is so nice of you.
Very, very kind.
Incredibly nice of you. Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm like embarrassed how nice that was. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you want to say mean things about you to balance it?
Yeah, I like that.
Your face is weird.
Oh.
Your feet smell. Oh. Get them off my furniture.
Okay.
Your hands are coarse and
this
rough.
This is SETI Alpha 5!
Scared me. I saw it coming too. I saw your face winding up, and I like wasn't prepared. All right. Well, if you'd like to leave us an iTunes review or a review in any of the places like Satchel, Overcast, or Google Play, you can certainly find us at Beer with Geeks. And you can also write in and talk to us on the Twitter, the Gmail, and the Facebook at Beer with Geeks. It's been a pleasure talking with you, Frank. So
likewise, sir.
Until next time, cheers.